Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. We've all had quite a week this week. It actually changed what I was going to talk about. I went to two memorials this week and learned a lot of good things, was reminded of a lot of wonderful things that we all need reminding of and encouraging in. And I wanted to go from there, add a little bit to that, to just give it a little more to think about. I know that some were not able to attend this memorial for various reasons, and I just wanted to bring up some things. So I did have a different message in mind. None of us like to say goodbye to someone dear, someone we love, but we had to do just that this week, and we've also had to do that in times past. Yet in such as these times as these, we get an excellent reminder of not only what salvation truly is, but how God's plan is to save all people, if at all possible. At the funeral service many of us attended this week, as we were being given the words of the Bible on the subject of resurrection, a particular scripture came to my mind. And then as we drove to the cemetery, the events of that particular experience had a pronounced effect on my joy and hope for all mankind. So though I know our emotions are tender at this time, I wanted to share with you some wonderful words of hope that apply to you and me, but not only you and me. So let's turn first to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, reading in verse 31, this is where Jesus provides us a profound statement concerning the resurrection of the dead. Verse 31, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying," verse 32, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." These are Jesus' words. We can turn to King David, who knew several things, that he would die, but that he would also be resurrected. And he trusted in this because the Lord had revealed to him that the Savior would also die, but not see corruption or be resurrected. And this is something he wrote in Psalm chapter 16. I'm just referring to it because I'm going to go to where Peter quotes it. But it's from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. If you look in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 25, Peter is speaking, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One," that would be Jesus, "to see corruption." So David knew both that he would just only rest, and that his Lord and Savior would also just rest for a few days. "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." That is the outcome that David saw. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you," Peter says, "to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." We know that Jesus was in the lineage of David. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So Peter clearly states that King David is dead and buried. Yet Jesus said that, quote, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So what gives? What's the difference? The same account is given in the book of Luke, but in a clarifying way to me. And I wanted to share that with you because it hit, we're not going to learn anything new here today. But we're going to get substantial additional proof, okay, that you may not have noticed before. I am catching this now. Luke chapter 20 and verse 37. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's not as clear as the previous, but then there's another verse. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That mimics the other verse, but he adds to it. For all live to him. All. So here is clarified that God does not just view resurrection as applied to the saints, but to all. Take yourself back to childhood. Take yourself back to when maybe families were getting together and your friends were coming over and you had child, it could be your cousins or your neighbors, and you were so excited that they were coming over. And you played and you did everything, just enjoying yourself and wearing yourself out. And you're getting close to bedtime and all the moms and dads say, okay, kids, it's time to go to bed. Oh, now some of you may have loved sleep as a kid, but most of us didn't want it to end. Okay, so they go to bed, and then they goof off, they giggle, right? Didn't you do that? Okay, but eventually sleep took over, as it should have. We all need refreshing, and every child is growing, and they need that refreshment. But see, they didn't want to miss anything. Did they? You and I did not want to miss something, so we wanted to just stay awake and not miss it. But we had to go to sleep, and then we woke up the next day, and things went along just as they had before. Our brains are required to rest regularly. For most everyone, every single day for several hours. And when we rest, we are no longer active in our lifestyle. We eat when we're awake. We work, we play, we search, we worship when we are awake. Nevertheless, it seems built into most people the desire not to miss anything because we feel like we would be missing out. Interestingly, however, as we age and as we have accomplished many things and we've learned much, that rest and rejuvenation of sleep somehow becomes more appreciated. I know it does for me. Still, when it comes to death, no one likes the idea of life ending. So people devise beliefs and traditions like loved ones dying and going to heaven to a new life immediately. Or they believe the spirit of the deceased still exists in a state of consciousness so as to allow the living to pay them homage, for which they will then be pleased, something they can receive and hear. Tomorrow is a holiday, the Day of the Dead, in Mexico. And it's an adaptation and mixing of ancient Aztec traditions with the Catholic All Saints Day, celebrated to pay homage to the spirits of the dead. They have made up a tradition to honor the dead, but as if they are still there listening and doing and so forth. From our perspective in the flesh, the saints have died. And so goes the way of all flesh, whether in a relationship with God or not. Doesn't matter. This is clarified by Peter's explanation of King David and the resurrection, which we read about. But from God's perspective, Abel sleeps. Enoch sleeps. Noah sleeps. Job, Abraham sleeps. Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they're just asleep. You know, an interesting aside about Joseph is Joseph understood he would live again. But do you notice, if you were to go to Genesis, the last chapter of Genesis 50, he makes his brothers promise to save his bones and take them to the promised land. Now, if a person was going right to heaven, why would he do that? Why, what's my bones matter if I'm already taken care of, right? Yet he wanted to raise up in a different place than Egypt. And so I thought that was an interesting thing where he doesn't explain why, but he understood that he would be resting. The apostles sleep. The Marys that we know of, they sleep. Martha, Tabitha, Timothy, Titus, and so on. But they will awake at the return of Jesus Christ, glorified, never to sleep again. And I have to ask, what about Shirley? What about Jean, others that we have laid to rest? Well, let's go back to the kids that have gone to bed. They're asleep now. They fought it and fought it, and they're sleeping. And their parents are all talking about their kids. And one of them's name is Johnny. He's a real good kid. And one of the parents says, you know, Johnny is a really good kid. I really like Johnny. The parent didn't say Johnny was a really good kid. I liked him a lot. You see, the parents know their kids are going to wake up. And they're talking about them because they're there. They're present. They may not be aware of things right now, but they are there. This is the way it is for God. The God who will raise Shirley up to new life sees her as just sleeping right now. And since God sees it that way, we can be certain that it is exactly what is happening. She rests at peace, awaiting a glorified body and to see the face of her Lord and God. Because she turned from sin and death to give everything else up for eternal life in the presence of her Lord and her Father. From our great God's perspective, she's still a good hugger. She still focuses all her attention on what on you and what you're talking about. She still stands by the truth and will take no guff about it otherwise. She's still fiercely loyal to those she loves. And she's still that person that always transitions with anyway. Some final thoughts. God's view of those who have passed away and sleep does not stop with the saints. Not with Shirley, not with all of the saints of the Bible. Not with Jean, not with any of the other names we could bring up very quickly today. As I was leaving the funeral home on Tuesday, I was impacted in a strong way, and I wasn't the only one. Some of us talked about it afterwards. Every vehicle stopped. Four lanes of traffic. Every single one. And I don't think that's actually the law. Some of it is. Some of them would have had to, but everyone stopped. Now, they could have been doing it because they were afraid of getting in trouble. They could have been doing it because they didn't want to look bad. They also could have been doing it out of respect. And everyone did it. I've been to plenty, and I've seen people pull over, but it was just so profound how many just it all stopped. And that affected me. I got emotional. And then it got even more impactful. You're always having to wait for the bus, right? The bus stops. You have to stop and let the kids out. You want to protect the kids. The bus was stopped for us. There was a school bus, and they stopped for us. And, you know, I rode the school bus for 11 years. School bus driver always told us what was going on if something wasn't right, something was different. Why aren't we going? I'm imagining the school bus driver said, there's a procession taking someone to a cemetery, children, and be respectful. You know, I'm imagining that. And there's these preteens, faces pressed against the glass, looking at us. Some of the windows open, and one of them, a little girl with a mask on, dutifully masked, waving. at us. And I just thought of the, here it is, a young child showing that kind of respect and encouragement. This is a statement of how men and women, how mankind treats one another when they are in touch with our humanity and how we will respect the dead. And the thing is that I'm in my mind thinking a lot of those people may not know what we know. But I also know that they will someday. And they want to live, and they want to enjoy life, and they want to succeed. And there's a time when everybody will have that opportunity. God has a plan, but not for just you and me. To God, all who have ever lived and died, they are just sleeping right now. Remember, He's the God of all. Awaiting a resurrection, either to eternal life or to their first real opportunity to choose eternal life. We read in Revelation 21:4, and I think we heard this. I heard it at one of the memorials. Revelation 21 and verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. This is for everybody that chooses the way of life. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So, and this is why, for He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to Him.